We're recording. And what I'm going to do is we're going to leave some silent, like talk a little bit right now. So your waveform's Okay. And then I'm going to leave some silence and then we're just going to start. All right.
What?
We're going to get back at it again in the white vans. Yes, I brought it back. Anyway.
This is state of emergency. What you want me to do? I'm sorry. I'm back. Let's go get him, Judge. Hey, hey, hey.
Hello and welcome back to the official IU Cinema Podcast, A Place for Film. My name is David Carter, and joining me in the wasteland, in the apocalypse, in our new reality, is my lovely and effusive purple-haired co-host, Elizabeth J-Rell. Oh. J is not your middle initial.
No, it's not.
Say hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. If it were, though,
back,
my
baby.
Initials wouldn't spell ear, so that's nice.
Is it Anne?
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
how could you guess?
Well, it's like, is there weird? It's like Aaron? I don't know, but that's like the
like
man.
The boy spelling?
It's like male, the male spelling of Aaron. Hey, we're back, everybody.
Yay!
I think we have probably new people listening. If the DMs and questions and emails we constantly get about the podcast are an indication, I think there are probably new people listening.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. We have no grand like entrance for you. We are just back after being gone since last. We did a fall semester preview. That was our last episode. So we've been out of the game for longer than the pandemic. And if you're curious about why, it comes down to like, this isn't really like talking out of school. Like, this is truly the issue. It's like, me and Elizabeth aren't students anymore. While we are alumni and IU employees, we're not students. And so it's very hard, apparently, to have a podcast or a radio show if you're not a student at IU. That is the literal issue. And unfortunately, Matt, our lovely, beautiful producer, is a little flaky, is no longer with us. I love Matt. I just miss him very much. Hopefully we can get him this episode. He is in Hong Kong, I'm pretty sure now. And he graduated onto greener pastures, but we no longer had the student connect. We went through a whole song and dance of trying to get a new producer and like still being hosted through WIUX, but it all kind of just ended up falling apart. And then we just let that dog lay where it lie. And then the pandemic happened, and John Vickers, the sadly soon to be former director of the IU Cinema, as of the episode of this podcast, he will still be the director.
Yes.
But he reached out to me and he just asked, well, he reached out to both of us. And he was just like, would you guys be interested in bringing back the podcast? Like, he seemed like legitimately sad that it had been gone for so long. And also just like the pandemic kind of, I don't know. Everyone's got a podcast now. That's just the way of the world. That's the only way people and friends and family can talk to each other is by having a podcast. So
fact.
Is that fair to say, Elizabeth?
I do know that my parents listen, so.
They do?
It's kind of true. I think that's the only thing they have on their iTunes.
That's adorable.
My dad knows how to log into his ESPN account, and he knows how to find the podcast, and that's about it.
Crazy. But yeah, we're back, and also just like, I mean, I think this is the first time I'm telling like the public, like, I am now like this is now an official podcast, meaning that I am now the new producer and editor and co-host of this podcast. And I'm getting those sweet McGrobby dollars.
Yeah.
Although soon to be former McGrobby dollars. Now you know where you're, if you're a student listening to the podcast, taken to you know, be proud that they're going to a man who just bought a hat that says music by John Carpenter on it. That's what your money's being used for.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, what are you doing? Sorry, I mean, not to...
Sorry, this is the best picture I took yet. So that one's the one being posted.
Sorry, this is an audio medium, everybody. And Elizabeth, we're on Zoom, and Elizabeth is just taking pictures with her phone.
I could have so been screenshotting.
Yeah, you could just screenshot. Also, I wouldn't notice if you were screenshotting. Sorry, everybody, bring back this goofy energy. But yes, we are back. And this episode will be very casual. But we have some, like... We should just do it. We should just do this up top. We'll do it at the end too. But like, this is now like an official podcast, just not a labor of love. So like, you can expect us to, especially given that ain't people got stuff to really be doing right now. We are going to be having like bigger guests on our podcast, right, Elizabeth?
What?
You know, I know. You're in those emails.
Oh,
I can't say who because we haven't. Yeah, we haven't really, some of these people we haven't reached out to yet, some we have, but like haven't heard anything back from yet. But like, yeah, it's not really a secret, but like if you're curious about who we're talking about, check the IU Cinema Jorgensen guest lecture schedule. And I'm sure unless catastrophe strikes, at least one or two of those people are going to be on our podcast.
Yeah.
Within the coming weeks.
IU Cinema still having guests? What?
They're still having guests in events, which brings me to our next segment, which is a very short version of an old segment we used to do, which is what's happening at the IU Cinema.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.
Callin' my tell her bring me that... Real good shit
scholar. I like it. All right, Elizabeth, this is your game. Are you the lead house manager? Is that correct?
That's me.
That's you. Well, you want to tell the people what's happening in the upcoming week virtually on the worldwide internet at the IU Cinema?
Yes. So a little bit about IU Cinema this semester. We are all virtual, and each week we'll have 1 to 2 special virtual events happening live, and then we'll also have a like streaming rental that people can purchase for like usually they're around $10, and you have it for a certain amount of time. Those don't include intros and Q&A's though, but they're still a lot of fun. So for this coming week, the virtual rental is going to be 2020's Dead. From September 25th to October 7th is when it's going to be available, which is about a man who can talk to ghosts because he mixes together pot and his dad's like neurological medication. He like cooks them together, inserts it like he would like an insulin shot. And then
you mean like marijuana? Like,
yeah,
like weed, like Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Like Kush, like that dank, like dank nugs. Yeah.
All of those things. And apparently this lets him see and talk to ghosts.
What? Ooh. This is eerily similar to the plot of How High, but continue.
Oh, I know.
The Red Man and Method Man movie. I mean, I'm not to belittle this person's work, but they're the movie How High, it's literally their friend dies and they mix their ashes in with weed that they smoke. And then they can like see their friend when they smoke.
Oh my god, it's the same thing.
Sorry, please continue.
But so anyway, that's the plot, and it's a $10 rental for those days. So if you're interested, definitely check it out. It does have closed captioning too, so if that's something that you wish to ask about, no need to ask, I'm telling you. Closed captioning available.
Wonderful.
We love
it. Is that the one event for this week? Obviously, they're not.
That's just the streaming event. That's the rental. We have two actual events. On Tuesday, September 22nd at 7 p.m., we're going to have a screening of the 1954 animated Animal Farm based on obviously the George Orwell classic. That one will have a live introduction, but it will not have a Q&A. It is part of the Themester 2020 Democracy Film Series. Ta-da!
And yay!
That one will be, honestly, it looks so terrifying, but just based on the screen caps I've seen.
I'm very excited for this. I mean, it falls in line with things like Watership Down, where it's like these animated movies that are big allegories for other things. I've always wanted to see this. I've always wanted to see this movie, so I'm probably going to tune into this one.
Yay! And so to register for all of these events, you have to go to the cinema website and the specific page for the event. You can register for the Zoom intro, and then you'll also get access to watch the movie for free. What? Great. Okay, and then we're going to end the week on Friday, September 25th at 7 p.m. with our filmmaker series. We are having not one, but two guests coming. Not coming to see us, but joining us on Zoom.
They're not going to come over my house?
If only.
I was going to make cookies, but whatever. Anyway.
Man. I mean, you
who's can, coming, I guess Elizabeth?
You can eat your cookies while you are. Oh. We're not in the cinema, so you can eat food.
Yeah, you can eat as much food and drink as you want now. Like those those rules do not apply anymore. This is Warren Beatty's. Rules do not apply.
Whoa.
So. Anyway, who is coming?
Our guests are going to be filmmakers Karen Kusama and Alexander O'Philippe. Karen, obviously being the director of Jennifer's Body and Destroyer and The Invitation and Girl Fight.
And Eon Flux Heads Rise Up!
I think I saw that movie when I was like 12. I need to.
Yeah, that's definitely. That's definitely an FX movie for me or something. Like, that's a movie that was on cable a lot.
I remember.
And I am. Blades of I am a fan. Are
actual blades. And that's what I remember.
Yes, it's very good.
So she's going to be talking to Alexander O'Philippe, who is actually a former IU Cinema guest. He joined us in person and talked a lot about Hitchcock. He's like a huge fan of Hitchcock. He had programmed The Exorcist. Also a huge fan of Friedkin. So, but his films, we got to watch 7852 Hitchcock shower scene when he was here. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting where he compared the two psychos in the shower scenes. He's also done Memory, The Origins of Alien, The People versus George Lucas, and Doc of the Dead, which is a documentary about vampire fans, or not vampires, zombie fans.
Zombie, yes.
Why did I say vampires?
I mean, vampires are technically dead.
They are dead.
But yes. We're talking about Zambos.
Yeah. Which, in my opinion, zombies are much cooler, but whatever. It's fine.
Don't say that to Karen. She's directing the Dracula remake or adaptation.
She's going to make them cooler when she makes her movie, but it's yet to happen.
It's yet to happen, fair enough.
But they're going to be talking, and I'm sure they'll talk a bit about their careers and their films. But they're going to base our conversation on L.M. Klimov's 1985 film Come and See, which is about a teenager who joins resistance fighters after Germany invades his Belorussian village.
Yes.
I've heard considered that this is one of the most depressing movies ever.
One of the most harrowing movies ever made. I have not watched this yet. I picked this up at the last Criterion sale because it had come highly, as someone who does enjoy things that are harrowing and horror centric, like people were like, this makes Grave of the Fireflies like look like, you know, My Neighbor Totoro by comparison.
No.
It is like a harrowing movie. It's long. It is challenging. I'm very excited to dive into this and like listen to these two people talk about it. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, this is a choice pick on everyone's behalf.
It's going to be really great. I've been putting off Grave of the Fireflies, so I don't know how I'll feel about watching this, but I'll definitely watch it.
Well, maybe you should watch this first, and then Grave of the Fireflies will be like, that's nothing. Like, that's easy.
No, I'll probably still cry at many moments in both films. Mm-hmm. It's just fact. But that's all we got next week. Three things.
Yeah. And John is involved in that conversation, correct?
Yeah, he will be moderating and hosting.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So does that bring us to the end of what's happening at the Ice Cinema this week?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, please check those out. Follow follow on social media if you're curious about details for those things. You can follow us or the Ice Cinema. We'll plug those at the end of the podcast. But now we probably usually in the upcoming weeks, we probably have a segment where we talk about what we watched this week. But y'all, we got months of things to catch up on. So we're going to talk about, hey, what have we been watching for the past like 7 months? So here we go.
I used to walk down the streets on my way to school, grinding my teeth to a rhythm invisible. I used my feet to crush dead leaves like they had fallen from trees, just for me, just to be crash symbols.
We're not gonna take it all the way back to August, because that would be insane. Also, like last August, now it's been over a year. It feels more like 20 years ago. Like,
it really does.
I'm not even joking. I can't tell you what I was doing last August besides just like working and then going to the IU Cinema and stuff. Like, I can't, like, I couldn't tell you. Yes, but I don't know. I mean, even this conversation is going to be kind of tricky because I was like, I can't put things on a specific timeline because April, May, and June are all the same. They're just one long month. Like, they're just one long month to me, specifically those 3 months. So it's like kind of hard, but I have a general memory what I did during quarantine. But I'm more curious about you, because while we were obviously in contact, our relationship is usually we see each other in person once a week at least.
And watch movies together.
But we mostly just been texting and like, there is one thing we did do together that's very fun that we'll talk about. But what have you been doing since March? Like, what has been your media diet? Like, we don't have to keep this just to movies, in my opinion. Like, what? Because people's brains have changed during this. Like, I know people who are like dyed-in-the-wool cinephiles who like all they do is watch movies. I know people who have just like, they stopped watching movies during this and pivoted to other things because their brains were like, it doesn't feel right. I'm not watching them in a theater. It's not as fun to watch them at home anymore. It feels more like a chore, or I can't focus as much. And so they pivoted to other things. So I'm very curious, you, in your living situation, like, what's been going on in Elizabeth Land?
So I actually haven't been watching. So I do Letterboxd, as I suggest that everyone do, because it's so fun. But based on my amount that I had last year of movies watched and then what I've watched so far this year, it's going to be far below what I watched last year.
It's going to be a vast percentage drop.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy because I actually have more time to watch movies since I'm not working all the time. And we can't really do anything outside of the house. So I was a little surprised. But then I guess we have been watching a lot of TV. Like, I watched all of The Sopranos.
Ooh, great show.
Which was,
I don't think I need to tell people what The Sopranos are. I think people know at this point.
The Sopranos is good?
You watch the entire thing? Or are you still working your way through it?
Oh, we're done.
Okay.
We have a while ago.
Yeah. I did a slow watch of that a couple of years ago where I only watched an episode every week. Take breaks between seasons just because I wanted to, because I have this weird thing where I'm like, certain TV shows were designed a certain way to be watched. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't meant to be binged all at the same time. And so, like, I was just like, I'm going to watch this as close to an approximation of what it was like to watch it as it aired on TV.
Nerd.
So like, I would watch, you know, how long seasons are usually like 10 to 13 episodes or something like that. Like, I would watch over the course of like a couple of months, and then I'd take 2 weeks off, and then I would pick it up again.
Man.
So, but yeah, so you watched The Sopranos. What else?
The movies. Well, so that's mostly been like TV. There's that. And then like Bob's Burgers and Veep, yeah, and like small.
You're leaving out some stuff. We text. You've been watching a lot of trashy dating shows.
See, it's been like such a weird time that I completely forgot we did that.
You should talk about those. I know Dr. Terry Francis listens to our podcast, so, and I think she is a fan of those. So, like, what were you watching?
I don't even remember what they were called. It was like Love at First Sight and like the marriage show with the pods at the beginning, where they were all like, oh, we're in pods and we don't see each other. And then they decide if they want to get married after like 2 weeks or something. And then they go about the reality show meeting each other as engaged people. And then by the end, you see if they get married or not. I bet you can guess how these have ended up. But it was like all the rage when they first came out, and we got sucked in, and we watched them very quickly, and we watched like two or three all at once, and we're very much like, okay, we're gonna take a break from this now.
Okay.
But they were
sorry. I know you're about to go to movies, but I was like, I just had to like put you on blast for like a quick second. I was just like, you were watching other things.
We watched too. That's so funny. I completely blocked it out of my memory. I forgot.
That's fine. Like I said, time and memory is meaningless now. Like I when it gets to me, like I'm sure I'm gonna leave out huge chunks of things that I did during quarantine, like that I watched or whatever.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you calling me out because I got a good laugh out of that. It was bizarre. The things people do on these shows are crazy. It's like soap operas on steroids. Except nobody's being like murdered or whatever.
Well, that show's going to happen at some point, so we'll see. But yes, what has your movie diet been like?
Movie diet has been a little bit of everything, kind of like it always is, but a lot more comfort movies. Lots of rewatches in the past.
Has anything stood out to you in rewatches of these like comfortable movies?
Has anything stood out to me in rewatches? I mean, not like super bad. I mean, I rewatched Jennifer's Body for the first time in a while, and okay. I forgot how fitting the soundtrack is. And yes, I would call it great, but I know not everyone calls it great.
Yes, this is a subtweet of me, but that's fine. That's fine.
I also did.
I'm excited to revisit that movie, but yes.
Yeah. We me and my partner made Ratatouille, and we watched Ratatouille while we ate ours. So that was fun.
That's,
I didn't know you did adorable. Know
I did not know about that. That's super adorable.
It was very cute. We had our people's farmers market finds, and we were like, what are we going to do with all this squash? Let's make ratatouille.
What are we going to do with all this squash?
That was fun. Got to watch the original Candyman for the first time, which is so good.
Incredible film. I highly suggest everyone seek it out and watch it. I'm sure the Blu-ray is probably on sale as October approaches, so like please check out that movie.
Yes.
And one of the sequels, the second one, I think the second one's called like Candyman Farewell to Flesh. I remember liking that movie when I saw it years ago. It's not as good as the original one, but it's one of those like interesting sequels.
That's good to know. I'll keep that on my radar for October. Of course, we went to the drive-in and we saw Evil Dead and Army of Darkness double feature, which was a lot of fun.
Yes. Did you watch Evil Dead 2 at some point?
I have not yet. We're saving it for next month.
Oh my god. I did try my best to campaign to have the drive-in change that double feat. That was it's a quarantine activity in which like I saw they were doing that. I'm like, this is good, but it makes no sense to show this movie in Army of Darkness over showing Evil Dead 2 in Army of Darkness, just for logistical and like programming reasons. And also just because Evil Dead 2 is the best of the three. Like I say this as a man who loves the entirety of the Evil Dead franchise, including like the like weird crossover comics that have been produced about it. Like, I like that remake. I like everything associated with Evil Dead, but this Evil Dead 2 is the one of the greatest movies ever made. Not hyperbole. I like legitimately think that.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally watch it, because I will say when we watched the double feature, it was kind of an abrupt jump from the end to Army of Darkness. And yeah, not having seen Evil Dead 2, we were kind of very confused for like 2 seconds.
Yes. Because one, Evil Dead 2 leads directly into Army of Darkness. And then one, the charm of that franchise is like watching the evolution of it change from like what was clearly made on like no money. Mm-hmm. Like famously Sam Raimi, like, I think it was like he raised $600,000. Like by like, you know, like bugging people and stuff like that. It might be less money. That I might have my facts wrong, but like that is a shoestring budget movie. It's like he makes that movie, which is supposed to be this legitimately like kind of scary, nasty horror movie. But like the second one is him being like, I'm like, he's just a goofy man, like who likes slapstick comedy and Three Stooges and things like that. And Bruce Campbell's one of the greatest physical comedians of all time. And then like the third one is like he has all the money in the world and he makes a big blown out action movie with like horror elements in it and like very surreal things in it. And like Evil Dead 2 is like this great bridge between those two movies. I won't say much about it, but you will see when you watch it.
Yeah, I will. This might be definitely diving too much into my life, maybe, but my partner has now adapted the "give me some sugar" line
from Darkness,
and anytime he says it, I don't give him sugar.
Oh no.
I was like, that's a little creepy.
Boy.
But he knows it.
Wait,
he knows I don't.
So he doesn't walk into the house and say, "Hail the King, baby."
No. <Thank God. laughs> Okay, go in the other room for the rest of the day.
Oh no.
You really should sit for a little with your words.
Is there anything else, or should I bridge the gap to me with the thing we did together in May? It's like I said, time is meaningless, but we did do a watch together over Zoom with a future, past and future guest, Ava Clowden.
Bridget.
We're bridging it. We did revisit the Pirates of the Caribbean movies during the height of lockdown. Because it had been, I hadn't watched those since college, I think. And you two hadn't even watched them in a while either, even though you'd watched them more recently than I had.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speak for Ava, but definitely.
At least the sequels, for sure, had been a while.
Yeah. That was really fun, if only because the first movie is, like, I still think, like, this is as good as, like, any of, like, when we talk about, like, Back to the Future or Star Wars or, you know, Spider-Man, or, like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy. Like, you know, these big budget, like, trilogies. I think that legitimately is, like, a first film deserves to be there, because, like, the script is tight, it's perfectly cast, it's like, if you know the context of how it gets made, you're like, you're not annoyed by like choices that like Johnny Depp is making, like you're actually charmed by them. It's like an incredible performance. Of all the like Orlando Bloom roles, I think it's the best one, like as far as like his career. I think that is him as Will Turner is his best. Would you agree?
I love Legolas
and things like that, but it's just like, I think him in Pirates of the Caribbean is his, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh, I forgot that I had watched all of the Lord of the Rings in one day also.
Oh yeah, I watched those over the course of like a weekend. It was very, very good.
That was the first time I'd watched them, so I can't tell you which ones, like where they start and where they end. So they're all one big movie to me.
Okay, but honestly, to me, ideal situation, in my opinion. I think for me, that is how Lord of the Rings should be watched, where it's just like this giant story that gets blended together into like one giant story. Like, it doesn't feel episodic. It feels like a single story.
Yeah, it was, we had to schedule that one into the week because we had to make sure we were up with enough time to actually finish before we got tired, which we didn't because just watching movies for that long is kind of tiring, but
yeah. But about Pirates of the Caribbean,
but yeah, Orlando Bloom,
but also, I mean, outside of that, because I don't want to dwell too much, but like the second movie, I remember having much fonder memories of, mm-hmm. and it was so weird to go back and revisit this trilogy. And like, I legitimately didn't really enjoy the second movie all that much. Like, there are things about it I enjoy, like mm-hmm. obviously Davy Jones, the creature effects in that are still unmatched to this very day. So there's this YouTube channel called Artist React, and I think they might have already done an episode on this. If they haven't, I kind of hope they cover it, where it's CGI Artist React to like CGI and film, like good and bad CGI. Mm-hmm. And the Davy Jones face tentacle effects are still unmatched to this very day. Like, I don't know how they did it. I'm assuming they individually animated each of those tentacles, because like it looks good. It's 2020 and that still holds up to this very day.
Yes.
All the special effects in those movies.
It's gross though. And it should be.
Yeah. And it's also like probably Bill Nighy's best performance, because I didn't know that was him for literal years. Like, really? I did not put together that. Well, I didn't know who Bill Nighy was when I was in high school.
I was like, did you have
I was aware of who of Bill Nighy because, huh?
Like, sorry. Did you have like a consciousness of like who Bill
I did not have a consciousness is. Of who he was, but like, he's in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I think I had seen Love Actually at that point. Mm-hmm. So like, I knew who this man was, but I wasn't like a number one Bill Nighy fan. Like, I wasn't that like now I am. Like, I love the man. He's like, incredible. Like, he's one of our finest actors, but like, I wasn't aware of him. So like, obviously you only see his face once in those movies, and I had forgotten that. And mm-hmm. so when I was rewatching it, I was like, oh wait, this is Bill Nighy. And it's like a great performance. I don't know.
The weird little like thing that he does with his mouth. It was a choice, but it worked.
It's a great choice. But yeah, I for some reason didn't really enjoy the second movie. And then the third movie just fully rips. It's not like a tight like movie like the first movie is, but it is like everything pays off. There's the marriage during the sword fight. There's the giant whirlpool. Yeah. There's the fact that like these movies go from like, yeah, it's like this kind of cute movie about pirates. And there's like this one joke in the first movie about parlay. And I guess even pirates have rules. And then the third one is like, there is a full pirate government and it is tight and people have to follow the rules and they all convene and they all, and I'm just like so charmed by it the entire time. And it's like every pirate lord is like a famous person, including like the payoff to the joke that like Johnny Depp based his performance off of Keith Richards. And then Keith Richards is in the movie as his father / one of the pirate king. Like, literally like insane. I love it. I love the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy, even if the second one is a little bit like overly long and kind of a slog to get to. Honestly, still worth it to watch all three, in my opinion. Like, mm-hmm. oh, what a good time.
This do you have any like my favorite set of movies in high school for like many years.
Yes. Well, I feel like they get kind of I was just talking about Pirates of the Caribbean on an art house theater podcast, but I think they kind of got lost in the conversation about like great movie franchises and trilogies from the like aughts in like early 21st century and late 20th century. Like, because obviously we talk about Lord of the Rings and we talk about the Star Wars prequels and we talk about the Spider-Man movies and things like that. But like, Pirates of the Caribbean and the Matrix trilogy, I feel like kind of got, they're like, oh yeah, and then those happened. But we like, but it's like they're almost like an afterthought. But like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies were like huge. I saw the second and the third one on opening night in high school, like at midnight in high school. And like, they were packed screenings. Like, people were losing their minds for these movies. And the quality is just held up. Like, Gore Verbinski is a great director. I don't know what else to say. Like, he is like a good big budget director. He has an eye. The movies are shot well. They're like well acted. They're pretty well directed. Like, scripts vary from movie to movie, but like still like pretty functional in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything he's done outside of Pirates, but
you probably like, have you seen Mouse Hunt, The Weatherman, Cure for Wellness, Rango, the lizard movie.
Oh, I haven't seen any of these.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I would definitely
literally about that movie that about the mouse.
Yes. It's about two brothers hunting a mouse. It's like one of the more Looney Tunes movies, like live action Looney Tunes movies ever made, where it's like this mouse keeps outsmarting. It might
heard of that on HBO maybe, but I don't.
Yeah, I would definitely check out Mouse Hunt. Incredible movie. Well, we don't want to go long on this one, so I will get to my things. I did many things over quarantine. I live by myself, so my next door neighbor is like past and future guests, Niall Arena. We're pretty much on our own during quarantine, and like we respected like not trying to interact with each other just to like be safe or whatever. So I did a lot of things during quarantine. I would say my biggest projects during quarantine in the past few months were I just like a madman just tried to go through as many of my unwatched movies as I possibly could, because I'm a man who buys lots of physical media and just kind of sit on them like it for like the right time. And so I did a whole project where I went through, as best in chronological order of what I owned, the Nikatsu crime films, like Nikatsu Studios, which is this studio in Japan that launched like the careers of like actors like Joe Shishido. And they made like a lot of like, you know, cheap and fast, like studio system style, like cheap and fast crime movies, where it's just like three star back burner movies. And I went through those, and that was incredible because I got to see this evolution of like things that are trying their best to be as analog to American studio system movies in the 40s and 50s as possible, where like things are a little more serious, very hard edged, like also they're usually in black and white, to the Japanese new wave coming in with Seijun Suzuki and other like directors of that ilk, and these becoming like these bright, colorful, incredibly surreal movies where like the plots stop making a lot of sense, but like everything about them is just like so maximalist at all times. It was incredible. We've shown a couple of these movies at the IU Cinema, like before quarantine. I think the last movie, one of the last movies that showed at the IU Cinema was Tokyo Drifter, which is a Seijun Suzuki movie, which is like the height of Japanese new wave filmmaking. Like it is like insane. Like it is like this insane, like fever dream of a movie. Highly recommend anyone watch.
I'm like remembering that. Watching that and how weird it was to watch it with a bunch of people who didn't know what they were watching before.
Yeah, they didn't know what to expect. They also unfortunately didn't get a lot of the context that the fact that movie was kind of made as it was being made as essentially an FU to the studio. Like it is purposefully kind of an obtuse movie because Seijun Suzuki was just like, they were like, hey, can you make your movies less weird? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then proceeds to make his weirdest movie.
There, you knew David Carter was there as well.
Yes, because I laugh and laugh and laugh.
But it's infectious, and you can tell people laugh with you.
Yes. And it is one of those movies that could very easily be like you're laughing at the movie. Although, in my opinion, there are some parts that like should be laughed at. Like there's some parts that are just like silly, but like there are a lot of the movie, everyone is in on the joke. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows the type of movie that is being made at this very moment. It's a lot like Rocky Horror Picture Show, where it's like, yes, that movie is funny and people do laugh at it, but like everyone in Rocky Horror knows the performance and what the movie they're in, so like it's fine. But that was like my biggest watch project, and I highly recommend you, if you have access to Criterion Channel or access to buying any of the Nikatsu Studio movies through Criterion or Arrow or anyone else that's putting them out, highly recommend. That was incredible. Like now, like I have like also like a big tattoo projects I want to get into, and in my mind I'm like, I should get like a Yakuza style sleeve of like this like tapestry of like all those movies that I watched, like in the style of like thing. That would be a $3,000 sleeve. Like, this will not be a thing. That was like, I was in bliss during that period. Also, outside of the movie side of things, I watched so many movies, it'd be impossible to get to all of them, like, during this. Like, I've shifted the other way. I just went hard into watching movies. One show I did watch that I kind of want to plug because I feel like it didn't get enough play was a show called Devs, which was an FX original on Hulu show, which was created by the director, which unfortunately I can't remember the name right now. I don't want to like type things on my computer and you pick up the audio. The director of like Annihilation and Ex Machina. He wrote Sunshine. And he kind of ghost directed the Judge Dredd movie with Carl Urban. Alex Garland, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was a show that kind of got lost in the quarantine shuffle because it was a little more heady, dealt with like a lot of themes of like determinism and free will. And it's very much akin to why I it's like a sister to like the Matrix sequels, which kind of tackle the same subjects. It has Nick Offerman playing like a very serious role in it, mm-hmm. but also it's still a very funny role. Like, it's a lot of very wry humor in the show. It has an incredible supporting cast, Allison Pill. Unfortunately, his name is escaping me, but the priest from Lady Bird, Elizabeth, the one who says they didn't understand it.
Let me just look up at my poster real quick.
Yeah, okay, see if you can find the name.
Henderson? Is that him?
Say again?
Stephen McKinley Henderson?
Yes, that is him.
Cool.
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
That poster just right there.
Oh, yes.
Really big.
But incredible show. I just wanted to plug it because I feel like it was on the same times as Westworld season 3, a show I tried to watch because I tried to stay on the Westworld train and just fully like bounced off of the season. I was like, nah, I'm over it. Can't watch this anymore. It's not good. But Devs, I just wanted to quickly plug. I also did a comic book club with past guest Peter Schomburg.
Cute.
We're both big comic book nerds. And spend way too much money on them. And I would say the most fulfilling read through that me and Peter went through during this time was, one, we did kind of go through the works of Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips a little bit. We filled in some of our blind spots. Like, he read through Criminal, which is like this kind of anthology series of comic books about these interconnected world of criminals in this like this one city, and like it takes place in like the past and the present. Very good. We read The Fade Out, which is a comic book about old Hollywood, mm-hmm. and kind of the seedier side of old Hollywood. Actually, I would highly recommend that if you're a film fan. It's both a blend of actual figures in Hollywood and fictional figures. That was very good. We did kind of get into some other comic books that unfortunately, well, we did read through The Invisibles, the Grant Morrison comic book, which was very much inspired the Wachowskis to make The Matrix. Some people say they ripped off The Invisibles. Having read it, it's like, it's very surface level. Like, they took aesthetics and the fact that they're a team of people who can like go to different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this, and the fact that they're very like Gen X counterculture-y. Other than that, wouldn't say that it's like they ripped it off, just heavily inspired by. But that was an incredible read through. And we did the Agnes Varda stream, and I ran through those Agnes Varda films in like 2 weeks. I'm 75% done with that box set, maybe a little further now. And that was an incredible experience to rewatch a lot of those films and also like kind of discover new ones. I highly recommend that in November when there's a Criterion sale. I know everyone's going to want the Fellini box set, including me. But like, if you had, I mean, I love Federico Fellini. I'm not going to talk trash about that dude. I love those movies. I just say, if you're looking for something that's off the beaten path, if you're looking for something new, also things that weren't easily accessible for a super long time. A lot of those Fellini movies have been accessible in some form or the other for a while. I know some of them haven't before people yell at me. Agnes Varda films, real crapshoot back in the day looking for those movies. So, you know, the world of physical media, I would say, is fragile right now. So smoke them if you got them is what I've been telling people. Like, if you have the money to buy something you love or you're interested in, buy it. Because things are getting real weird out there with physical media, unfortunately.
Every time I see someone read like Netflix lists of what's leaving and then complain when there are things leaving, I'm like, this is why I buy DVDs. Huh.
Yes. And like, I've heard, like, I know there's like an ethical thing to like supporting something that's like plastic and being produced in a factory. And I understand that. And also I know people like, I don't have a lot of space or money to own these things. I 100% understand all those things. There is no ethical consumption under capitalism, I think is the quote that gets passed around. Elizabeth is putting a clothespin on her nose because this stinks. but you know, if you have the money and you have the means, like, support physical media while it lasts, because unfortunately companies who own these movies are not our friends, and they have no interest in having certain things be available. In some cases, they have an interest in not making certain things available.
Yep.
Cough, cough, Disney, cough, cough. Yes. So yeah, that will be my weekly tirade about why you should buy physical media, because that's going to happen a lot on this podcast now that we can't go to a movie theater. I did go to the drive-in once during a quarantine. I did see a double feature of Space Jam.
Yeah.
And Tenet.
Whoa.
Unfortunately, I'm like based on the numbers that they were released, I'm one of only like 2,000 people in America that saw Tenet or something. No, it wasn't that bad, but they did terribly here because they shouldn't have released it the way they released it anyway. And unfortunately, it might actually have hurt theaters more than it was gonna help it. Yeah, it's like, a very annoying situation.
No one wants to go.
Also, like, the word of mouth of the movie is also weird because I'm just going to put this out there, and I know some people listening are probably going to be upset with this. I think Tenet is actually probably a good movie. Unfortunately, it's nearly incomprehensible. Like, it is a full-blown, like, if you were annoyed by the rules explaining in Inception, I don't even think you should watch Tenet. It's because Tenet is a movie that is nothing but people explaining the rules to how a mechanic works. Like, it is a 2.5 hour long video game tutorial is the best I can say, which, like, you're like, David, you're crazy. Why do you like this? It's just legitimately because I have never seen a movie do things like this before, like the action set pieces in it, mm-hmm. in what the movie he's attempting to make, like the themes of it, are good, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, is Elizabeth Debicki a well-written character? No. Is John David Washington very good in the movie, but not really a real character? Yes, that's unfortunately the case. He literally at one point in the movie calls himself the protagonist, like a little.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I know. But the thing is, like, much like Inception, it's like, I groove with that movie on what I'm seeing and what is being attempted as far as like the allegory. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoy it on that level. I think it is successful at those things. It is not a functional movie. The entire third act, this is Tenet Corner, I'm sorry. I'm just giving my quick review of Tenet for people who probably won't see this until it's on VOD in like 2 months. It's just like the entire third act literally has a person explain what's going to happen in the third act of the movie with diagrams and charts, and you still have no idea what's happening.
What?
Yes, like the movie pauses. I am not spoiling Tenet for anybody. This is so vague, but the movie literally pauses. It's like a SWAT team or something, like soldiers, and be like, all right, so this is what's going to happen. And because of these rules that you know from earlier in the movie that you probably didn't really understand, these things are going to happen. All right, let's see how that plays out. And you're still watching it and you're like, I have no idea what is playing out right now. Like, like, it looks cool. And like, I'm like kind of giddy watching it, but I have no idea what's going on, which is like very rare for me for movies, because like, I am kind of a person who does like to latch on to. It's why I like Inception so much, because like, when you get to the final set piece of going layer by layer, I'm like, yeah, I understand all the rules to this. This is working for me.
Yeah.
Not intended.
Oh, no.
So you can call that a mixed bag. I am curious what other people will think when they finally get around to watching it. Everyone looks great though, and the action's incredible, and the score, like the I think it's Lorne Balfe. I might be wrong about who did the score for Tenet. I know it's not Hans Zimmer, which is Christopher Nolan's usual. Yeah, which is his usual music person, but the score, very good. So
I'm asking because I don't know, is Michael Caine in this movie?
Michael Caine has a one scene. This isn't a spoiler because he's in the trailer. He has a one scene, like in the movie. It's very good. It's very charming. It's
good.
It's very much why you like hired Michael Caine to come in and do your movie for one scene. And as far as anything else, we did kind of like a sample episode. I don't know if it'll get released, but like I did read Ant Kind. I did watch I'm Thinking of Ending Things. You also watched I'm Thinking of Ending Things. There's a possibility you might revisit that in the future with someone who's interested in talking about it. Small chance. Yes, I know. We'll talk about it after the record. I got into many, many things. I think those things stood out the most to me. As far as like where my brain is on all this, which I'll ask you after my two cents. Before the Tenet fiasco, I was very much of the opinion just like people don't like to be trapped inside. That's just a fact, as evidenced by our terrible, terrible country. People don't like to be trapped inside. People will want to go see live and like out of their house events. I don't think people actually like watching movies in their house this much. I certainly really don't. My brain is broken, so I just do it anyway. But the allure has started fading for me. Like I'm lucky in that like I do get to see people who have been tested or like, you know, I'm in trust, like we are all quarantined so we don't see other people like that I can watch movies with in person now, which has like brought some of the magic back to watching movies. But watching a movie by yourself or even with somebody that you live with and you see all the time, like it's not the same as going out and seeing the movie or going to a live show or seeing live theater. And so people who are just like, these institutions are going to crumble. The institutions themselves, I don't think, will crumble. Unfortunately, we live in a capitalist society, and like because of rent and like no support from the federal government for these things, the venues themselves will probably go under. I think people are always going to want to make and watch these things and experience these things. I don't think people are just going to want to listen to Spotify and watch Netflix all day. Like, I just don't believe it. Obviously, there's some people do. There are people with social anxiety and... I'm sorry.
Like they did it before, if that's what they actually prefer. Like there are definitely people before all of this happened when they had the option and wouldn't. Those are the people that are still going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I feel about it. And like I'm a home, like before all this, like I'm a homebody. Like there were times I didn't go to the IU cinema because I was just tired and I stayed home and I watched a movie. Like that has happened. That is not weird. But people do want to go out and people do want to do things. So I am of the opinion that, like, we will rebound from this. It's going to be a little messier now, given the situation of how things are playing out and how much longer things are taking. I'm not worried about the future of movies. I've seen actually some takes on Twitter where people are like, there's a chance that we might be experiencing, like, the new third American new wave of cinema. Like, that could be a possibility of something to happen, which maybe gets too in the weeds of the conversation about art's going to get so good because things are so bad. But like, there is like a, you know, there's a case to be made that like things like Marvel movies and Disney remakes and like things that were like easy to consume because they were events you could go to at the theater. Now that you watch them in your house, they don't seem as special. People might be more into the idea of going to see things that aren't these big bombastic things like in theaters. Like things can change. People's taste will change. Like people who did watch movies as like appointment viewing, as opposed to like liking to watch the movies, they might fall away, but like new people might come in. We get new voices. But once again, might get into the two weeds of like things are bad, so art gets good. But I'm remaining hopeful about the situation. What about you, Elizabeth?
I would echo a lot of the same sentiments. I think Tenet was a sacrifice for the movie world. They definitely just kind of stuck that one over the cliff.
I'm like, as much as I said I like that movie, I'm very mad at the situation. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like nothing else with like a big name or cast, etc., is going to be released anytime soon. So kind of like for the silver lining, because then like we can wait until like the Candyman remake will come out later. You know, Wonder Woman is going to come out later. And like all of these things that we were excited for are just going to be later, which is fine. I would prefer later than not get to see them. So,
yeah, these movies will come out. It's just going to be a, are the studios going to support, like, are they going to play it close to the vest and just be like, we're going to hold on to these until 2021, which is, I think, what people should do. I think this should just be a lost year for movies. And then productions on movies have halted. They should just release all these movies in 2021 when we're more out of the weeds and like the dust is a little more settling. Unfortunately, because of the whole issue with theater chains and things like that, and like the fact that they are possibly going to go under, which didn't have to happen either if there had been a support system in place, even not within even the federal government, but within like the studios themselves. Like they could have, there could have been a whole system in place for these things, but obviously it didn't. But like, I think studios are going to hold on to these movies and like hope that 2021 is like a big rebound year. And also the fact that people are going to be so desperate once there's, it's safer to go out in public to go and do these things. Like, yes.
I hope, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like besides like the certain people that I know, people have stopped caring already. So I understand why they tried to put Tenet out, because they were like, oh, well, we see people have stopped caring, so surely they'll go see this movie. But yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a while to get me in a theater seat.
Yes. I have no plans to go to a proper movie theater. I do help run a pop-up cinema in town called Cicada Cinema, and we've toyed with the idea of doing distanced outdoor screenings, but you know, there, that the theatrical experience is purely going to probably be a drive-in based experience for me, or a I borrow all the equipment from our pop-up theater and I just project a movie onto the side of my house. Like I said, I'm hopeful. I think places, I'm glad that the Ice Cinema is a place which like is obviously like funded, you know, by the university, and like the university, you know, is trying to support the arts as best they can and things like that. So like, I'm not too worried about places like that, but you know, small indie theaters and chain theaters, they're going to get hit. They're going to struggle. Like things are going to close. It's going to be rough. So support what you can. I know money's better now, but not really for people. So like support what you can. And just, like I said, just keep hope alive. Like I'm still hopefully optimistic. Like I'm going to be here recording this podcast and writing and film programming and doing the best I can. And I'm assuming there's other people like me and you out there who want to do the exact same thing. And just keep this boat, just keep this show going. Things will change, but you know, things have changed a lot of times and movies still exist. Movies died in the 60s and they were reborn. So who, like, you know, who knows?
Yeah. It'll just keep happening. It's cycles. Everything's a cycle.
Everything's a cycle. Fashion. Although this feels like a particularly wrought cycle. And on that note, we should probably end this you know, this episode of A Place for Film. Elizabeth, I'm shaking off the cobwebs. How do we end this thing? Elizabeth, where can the people find you online?
Find me on Twitter at Elizabeth Rell, R-O-E-L-L. And then find me on Letterboxd, also Elizabeth Rell. Hopefully I can get to watching more movies and can log some more things on there. It's about to be October, so I've set the expectation that I would like to continue watching a horror movie a day. We'll see how well that goes, but hopefully we'll get through it. Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is on there, so wait for that. Yes. Hot take, probably not gonna be a hot take, but it's fine.
I would be flabbergasted if you were like, I didn't like that. Like I would, if you watched, like having seen Army Die, like I would actually be like confused if you were just like, that was not good.
Do I know,
like yes, you can find me on Twitter at Samurai Flicks, on Letterboxd at Robert Dolphy on Instagram. I think also at Robert Dolphy. I should know my handles better. Unfortunately, I don't. I will also continue watching movies. You can check my letterbox for all the things that I did not get around to watching. You can also just interact with me on Twitter and ask me questions about things and suggestions. We are considering starting in a Place for Film Instagram. We do have a Twitter account as well, which we have not logged into a very long time, so we need to get around to doing that. And things to look forward to, some Jorgensen guest lecturers in the upcoming weeks, some old friends stopping by. I know the Agnes Varda conversation I did with Professor Joan Hawkins has been saved in an audio form that I will get edited and put up at some point.
Nice.
Probably to give me and Elizabeth a break 1 week. So look forward to that. I know I've had questions about people who missed that stream and were interested in watching or listening to that. So with that, we're gonna end this episode. This has been A Place for Film. We'll see you at the movies. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most incredible Justin Blaze. Blaze X. Rockefeller Records.